And remember, Israel is, in the days of Josiah, is not doing that well. And in the process, they are not moving along as they should. Therefore, in the process, they're going downhill when Josiah is trying to get them uphill. And Josiah, and then you go to the next king, Josiah gets killed by Pharaoh. He didn't need to, but he did. And in the process, Jeremiah chapter 5 gives you a clue, again, of the thinking of the people of Israel. I'll read verse 11, remember. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. Now, and the prophets, verse 13, shall become wind, etc. They're all giving the wrong message. And the word belied, remember, means to decrease, to make smaller. It doesn't mean God, they aren't denying God's existence. They're reducing God, making him smaller, smaller. Making God fit what you want in your head. Shrinking God down. They were taking away from God and bringing him to their level. Belied him. They took God from his wonderful majesty and reduced him to a miserable nothing, as it were. Now, over in chapter 12, and you'll notice, please, in chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 4. Chapter 12 and in verse 4. And Jeremiah, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our end. God, Jeremiah, you aren't going to live long enough to see how we end up. We're going to make sure, remember, his own family, his own town wanted to kill him, let alone imprison him. They wanted to kill him. And so, Jeremiah, you aren't going to live long enough. So it's a time of very difficult days. And they didn't believe that anything could ever happen. Now, over to Habakkuk, if you would. And remember, in Habakkuk is living at the same time that Nahum is, and Ezekiel and Daniel, they're all living at the same time. And in the process, here is Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is looking at the people. And the people are not, he's looking at them straightway in Jerusalem, Judah. And you'll pick it up in the verse 1. The burden of Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. What burden did he see? O Lord, how long? How long again? I want to know how long. Everyone wants to know how long. How long shall I cry? Wilt thou not hear, even cry out unto thee in violence? Two different words. And both in crying out in violence, crying out for help. Verse 2. Out of the violence, and thou wilt not save. Why are you letting Israel act and do like they did? Or, going back, way back, think of Noah's day. God, Noah could have said, how long, God, are you going to let the world keep getting worse and worse and worse? Well, Noah had a date, 120 years, and when the ark was finished, then he knew. But Jeremiah doesn't, Habakkuk doesn't know. They're looking out at the circumstances and the situation in their country, in their government, in their religion, in their system. It's not good, not good. Now, verse 2. Why dost thou show me iniquity? And Habakkuk is wide awake to what's happening. Do you know that many, too many people in our country are not aware of what's going on? And you know the survey, if that was any valid, if it's valid or not, that most of the people didn't know whether who was the vice president. They never heard of or any of the issues of the day, never heard of them, had no recognition of any of them. That's very bad, very bad, very sad, because they don't know. They don't care. Now is somewhat. So now, here's Habakkuk. Why dost thou show me iniquity? Why do I have to see this? Why do I have to look at this? Why do I have to feel this? And cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Israel, Israel, Judah is not doing well. It is not doing well at all. Verse 4, therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. Don't you ever fix anything, change anything? Therefore the law is slack, judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. The bad guy seems to win, the good guy seems to lose. Verse 5. Behold, ye among the nations, God speaking to Habakkuk and that, pay attention. Behold, God is among all the heathen nation, the word nations. God is among all the nations. So in any nation of the world back then, as it was on planet Earth, God is involved with every nation. There is no nation that God is not conscious of. The devil, the god of this world, is the prince of the power of the air. That's true. But all that goes on in any government at any time is answerable to God. Anywhere. That's what you need to know. Anywhere in forever, God knows what's going on. Now, verse 5. Behold, among the heathen, and regard, pay attention, cause yourself to regard. And thus, and wonder marvelously. And the word to wonder, to be amazed, and it's two words, the verb wonder marvelously is the verb twice. It's a command. And language is very hard to translate language. The beauty of taking a word in another language, depending on the pictorialness and the wonderfulness of it, you may not be able to take an English word. You'd have to take a whole big sentence to bring out the word. Here is this word, marvelous, in verse 5. Wonder marvelously. And it's a command, Joseph, it's a command. And the command is urgent. And it involves urgently comply. Urgently do something about this, it's urgent. And then he repeats it, a command, be astonished, be amazed. Won't you wake up? What's happening? Well, Habakkuk, you're looking at Israel. Look at God. And be amazed at what's going to happen. Be astounded. Over to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And Jeremiah is going to say it as we read it in the past here. Jeremiah 4:9. It shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, the heart of the princess, and the heart of the priest shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. There's the word. They're going to be astounded. They are the prophets. Been telling you all kinds of things. How it's going to go. How it's going to work out. They're telling you all this stuff. We're listening to it. And the media coming across telling us all this stuff. And they are going to be astounded because they don't believe. They don't believe that God would ever do what he's going to do. And it's always that way. Do you know how many people might have got saved in Noah's day if they ever believed the preacher of righteousness? Here they are watching. How could you not live in Noah's day? And for 120 years, watch a battleship go up in the air. Wow. How could you not live at the wonder of that? But you don't find any of them believing that a flood, a rain, could happen. No, it wouldn't happen. Never happened. Never happened. Now, with that in mind, Habakkuk, and picking up in verse 5, wonderfully, wonder marvelously. Why? Why are we to be astounded? Why are we to wake up and comply and pay attention, have compliance? Verse 5, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. You will never believe what's going to happen. Hang on. You'll never believe it. You won't believe it. No one's going to believe it. Nothing's going to ever be bad. That bad. But it could be that bad. Don't you think of the Oklahoma thing where the tornado was. Think if you look at that town, that area, you might have never believed that that much damage, that extensive, could have ever happened. To level it like a bomb, atomic bomb, boom, and level the ground. Who would ever believe that? Wow. Now, so in the light of that, and God, what are we to believe? What are they to believe that's so awesomely awesome? Verse 6, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. It's not. Now remember, the Assyrians are noted for being very cruel and merciless. And the Assyrians are coming from the Assyrians, Babylon, the son of Sennacherib rising up, and that's where Babylon comes up into power. And the Babylon is no better. Babylon is a horrible, cruel people. Wow. When they come in, men, women, children, whoosh, all gone. All gone. Wow. Verse 7. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of them, shall proceed of them. In other words, it's going to be ahead. You know everywhere they go, they're already telling you what they did. What did they do in the last town? What happened in the last city? They're coming. Verse 8. Their horses also are swifter than leopards. Leopards, swift. The leopards were in that country. And in the, they're very swift, very quiet. The leopards, the horses are also swifter than leopards. Leopards move silently and quickly. The horses are faster than that. They are more fierce than the evening wolves that are hungry. And the wolves are out on the prowl at night to find. They may go a great distance to find food. And they're hungry. Third illustration. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far, very swift, very fast, like how? Like an eagle. There's several different brands of eagles and vultures, and you have to go by context. This is eagle. And in the process, they're going to fly like an eagle, way up in the air, swift. And when the eagle swoops down, Wow, watch out down below. They're going to come like that. The enemy is going to come in just like that. No fooling around. I mean, they're going to roar, come rolling in. And verse 9, they shall come all for violence. What is the reason? Are they coming in for any good? They're coming in to plunder. They have one objective, to plunder you. To ruin, take everything, and walk home, back home, with anything that is valuable. That's why they're coming, to plunder. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up. In other words, they're striving, they're looking after, very decisive. Their faces are set. They're going to eat. They're going to devour. They're going to do what they do. They are not messing around. They're dead serious about what they're doing as they invade, as they go from place to place. And now, in verse 9, the east wind comes, and they shall gather their captivity as the sand. They take it all, nothing. They take it in their hand. They control. No one opposes them. No one beats them. Verse 10, they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn, a laughing stock. Gaze. They shall scorn unto them. They shall deride, laugh again, to scoff. They shall deride every stronghold, every fortress, for they shall heap dust and take it. They shall take all the dirt as they did in those days. Every city has the wall. And all the men would bring in buckets of dirt and dump the dirt. They build up a moat so they could go and attack over the wall. They're going to do it to every single place they go. No matter what the wall, they're going to go around it, through it. And you know what we read in Jeremiah. God was going to say, I want you giving instructions to Nebuchadnezzar, knock down their wall. What wall? The wall of Jerusalem. Knock it down. Wow. Now, in the light of that, and so therefore you have a movement. Habakkuk wants to know, God, I have a question then. Here comes Nebuchadnezzar. Here's Israel, a bad, bad nation. They need to fix things. And here comes a nation worse than Israel. God, are you going to take that which is more terrible than Israel and let them crush, judge your nation? And the answer is yes. And thus, and his Habakkuk's cry, thou art thou... not everlasting, O Lord, my God? Mine Holy One, are you not? For we shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Now can I ask you a question, God? You're mighty and holy and great, and no one can touch you, and you do what you wish. Verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. God, you are good, not evil. You do not condone evil. Canst not look on iniquity. You don't know. You don't see. Now my question, God, in the light of that, in the light of what you told me, of the nation Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians that are coming down, that are more terrible than the Assyrians. Verse 13, the middle. Wherefore, the little word, wherefore, the word why. Why do you look, thou, upon them that dealeth treachery? Why are you just looking, God? Secondly, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. God, you're looking, and you aren't saying a thing. you're playing silent. God, why don't you say something about something terrible is happening, but you don't say anything? You don't say anything. And remember, as you know, God said, my ways and my thoughts are what? Higher than the heavens. And when I do what I do, I don't have to explain anything. And often I don't. I don't explain anything. And he will tell John the Baptist, remember, in John, Matthew, you go tell John, don't be offended at what I do. I'm not going to tell you why I do it, but don't you stumble over, because I'm not going to give you any answer. I'm going to do what I do. It'd be like someone that knew very intricate mathematics. And we're in a great big equation. And the little kid's there, he's got his multiplication table, looking up. And he wants to know what are those signs? What are they? You know, what is all that stuff with the twos and all that? Wow! Could the man explain to the little kid? No. He just keeps solving the problem. That's all. The little kid, it's too much for the little kid. And our Lord said it another way that you're familiar with. John 16:12. I have many, what? Many things to say to whom? To you. But you couldn't understand them now. It isn't that I don't want to say it. You just don't understand it. And that's why he told others, don't ever tell who healed you. Because you couldn't explain it right. You couldn't explain it. You couldn't explain what happened to you and why it did. Wow. So here's Habakkuk, and here are the questions. Now, and sliding over if I can, because I was trying to do that quickly, but you got the idea. And in the process now of all of that, God is going to let that happen to the nation of Israel. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in like a fisherman with a net, and he's going to go through the land with a net like in a big ocean, and he's going to collect everybody in it. Going to, just like catching them in a net. Going to catch them all. That's what he's going to do. And so now, chapter 2, verse 1. Jeremiah, what are you going to do? Jeremiah is going to have to go. Habakkuk's going to have to go, and Jeremiah, both of them. I will stand, chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk. I will stand upon my watchtower. Remember, the watchtower's up in the air, watching out for the enemy, watching out for storms, watching out. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And I will answer and I will reply when he gives me his answer, when I am reproved, when I am corrected, when he tells me. I don't know why. God's going to tell him why, but he don't know why. He don't know why. So when God helps me understand the answer, I'm gonna know it, but I don't know it now. I'm waiting, God, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. But I am waiting. I didn't get weary. I didn't quit. I'm waiting on God. Do you remember all the lovely expressions? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Could you wait? Say, well, when now? No, you're waiting. You learn to wait. God, what do you normally do? We'll try to get to it, maybe. Do you know what God normally says? God waits until you end. You say, I'm patient, I'm patient, I'm patient. Are you coming next week? Are you coming soon? Are you going to answer my prayer? God, this is the third day. The third week. God, what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for you to learn to wait so that in your heart you didn't put a date or a time. You're learning to wait. And when I'm ready, I'll do what I do. But you wait. And don't worry. don't want, don't waver, wait. And don't break, when? No, say wait. God, I'm waiting. I'm sitting comfortably waiting. Watch. Thus, in verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets. Here's a clay tablet you're going to take, and you aren't going to write it on. You're going to write very large letters in clay. You're going to make it so that you can't miss reading it, so that anyone coming by will see the sign. We'll see the sign. You have to read the sign. Make the sign very big and clear so that everyone coming by can see it. And when they see it, when they see this sign that you're going to make, they're all going to be encouraged and they're going to run to tell of the wonderful expectation. Even though Nebuchadnezzar is going to do what he's going to do, be of good cheer. God is going to put it all together. The God who's in charge of all the nations, and in particular right now, your concern is Nebuchadnezzar, and God happens to be in charge of them. God's in charge of Israel, Judah. Now, verse 3, for the vision, God, watch how this does. So if you wonder, God, am I going to wait? I mean, am I going to worry? God, how assure my heart that I'm going to wait? All right, let's... You have to see. For the vision, verse 3, chapter 2. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. I didn't tell you the time, but the appointed time. There's a time set for this, appointed. But at the end, it, the vision, shall speak. It'll all be very clear. And not lie. No unreality. Very real, very right. Though it tarry, and you're waiting, wait for it, verse 3. Why? Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You can count on it. Now, how many times did you say that? God said, I'm absolutely going to do this. It's very strange. And you'll never believe. No one ever believed. And remember, if we won't have time to read it, but in the process, in Deuteronomy, that Moses already tells them what's going to happen. The Assyrians are going to come. The Babylonians are going to come. The Roman Empire with Titus is going to come. And they're all going to... This is way back with Moses in Deuteronomy. And all of these people are going to come and do a number on you. And when you're reading that, how much of a number? To the point of how bad. It'll be so bad, you will have to resort to eating your own children. That's how bad. You'll have to resort to survive to eat your own children. That's pretty bad. Pretty bad. God said, no, yeah, you won't believe it, will you? You wouldn't believe I'd do that, but I will. Why? Why? You think it's terrible? It isn't terrible. What is more terrible than what they have done? They have reduced the Creator to a nothing. And that is terrible. That is unforgivable. Wow. Now, so, in the light of that, what are we going to do then? Well, verse 4. Behold, his soul... The guy that's waiting, the girl that's waiting, the boy, the girl that's waiting, the man, woman. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, all puffed up, etc. Not upright, self-centered, and all of those things. But, on the other hand, the just, the righteous, shall live by his faith. The righteous person's going to live by his faith. And this is quoted 3 times. In the New Testament, the righteous, the just shall live by faith. How are we going to go? We're going to trust the faithfulness of God. That's what we're going to do. And we're waiting, as we trust the faithfulness of God, to say something would never happen. It will happen. In fact, you know all this stuff. That's going to happen, and it's not going to be very good, to say the least. And so we're awaiting God's answer. God is not indifferent, and the heart is apt to go, in unbelief, walk away from, fail to trust God. And thus God reminds us in the New Testament, as you know, Matthew chapter 6, etc., they have not a heavenly Father. That's why the world and the nations strive after success and survival. They don't know me. And they're busy trying to survive without me. And you can't do it. And God said, on the other hand, they have forgotten what? That not one, Matthew 10, not one sparrow falls to the ground without my knowing. And not one hair of your head is missing that I don't know about. I'm rather personal, but they've reduced me down to nothing. They don't believe. They believe, but they don't believe. They talk about God, but they don't believe God. They don't allow God to be who he is in his wonderful, wonderful magnificence. So therefore, looking, God is watching, looking, waiting for God to do what he does in a most marvelous way. So, sliding over, if I can, to chapter 3. We're waiting, going to look by faith. That's what you're going to do. Going to have to look by faith. And await God's wonderful working. God isn't going to tell you what you want to hear. You aren't trying to listen to God, tell me what I want to hear. No. God, give it in your wonderful providence, in the midst of all the conditions, in the midst of all the fears and doubts and worry and want, and all of these things, don't let the clouds, whether they're heavy or light, don't let the clouds take away from you the fact that on the other side of the clouds is the sunlight. And no matter what the cloud, Isaiah 59, the clouds you make with your mind. You make the clouds in your unbelief. And you try to find me. And you have made the storm up there. And that's why you can't see me. The sun always shines. But you just can't see it. Why not? Because of your unbelief. Your unbelief has robbed you of who I am. And that's what Israel and God, you're going to let. Think of our own country and the world coming up and the tribulation coming up. Wow. So don't get confused. Don't get into conflict. Don't get concerned, overly so, about whatever. Don't do that. Don't do that. Pray, God. Our worry is out of place. We aren't to worry at all. No. In fact, chapter 3, verse 2, remember. O Lord, remember looking at it, are you with it, Habakkuk? I'm getting it. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive, cause, it's intensive, cause, imperative, Cause to restore, cause to bring back, to revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. Make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God, I'm not going to try to stop what you do. I'm not even going to talk about it. I just want to understand it. Do you remember how God dealt with the person of Job? And Job was a perfect man. His heart was right. Job was the right guy. You want a guy that was with God. He was the one. And God was going to raise them up even higher. But you know, in all of that exercise of Job's life, God never gave him an answer on why. Why is this happening? God never told him. Never told him. Just let it happen. So what do you want to know? That God is in the process and the product. In the process, in the product. So as we go down the corridor, Jeremiah, here we are in our day. We aren't going to fix a lot of things. We'd like to fix anything, but we aren't fixing anything. We're not doing it. And the world conditions are making it so it's unfixable. 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 The storm has reached such momentum that it is unstoppable. Think of a snowball, different illustration, going down the hill, a little snowball. A little snowball going down the big mountain. And you know, by the time it gets halfway down that mountain, guess how big it is, assuming the snow's right. And now try to stop the snowball when it gets this big. It'll run right through a village, wouldn't it? That big snowball would hit the village and go right down Main Street and take everything out. Wow. Wow. God, the process. God said, I'm in the process. I want you to know. I want you to, don't be offended. If you have to see how ugly sin is. And unbelief. How terribly, terribly ruinous is sin and unbelief. So, well, it's a little unbelief. So what? I don't believe. I believe a little bit. God said, you have no idea how terrible that is to me. So when I exercise what I do in wrath, verse 2, remember mercy. And that's what you ask. I ask it for my little life. I don't know about yours, but that's what I ask. God, deal with my heart. Not on the basis of who I am or what I am or anything else. God, deal with my heart based on your mercy. God, I'm counting on it. I'm not counting on me. Counting on that God who does it. And God, we're waiting. And what shall be and what not shall be, we don't know, God. We are to be expectant. We ought to be delighted. We ought to wonder. We ought to be amazed. We ought to be looking to you so that we don't lose it in all of it. And we don't start minimizing and we don't start maximizing. We want to stay right on course, God, with what you're going to do. And we want to move with you. God, you are doing something. That's right. In all the nations, And God, since we've come to know you as our Lord and Savior, you're doing something in us. He that hath begun a what? Will what? Finish it. God started something. And God's in the process. What about the country, the world, the government? All of it's in process. But God, I have a unique privilege. You've started something in me. You've started something with me. And it's in the process. And I want that process to take place. I want to be the immediate beneficiary of that process. I want to have that privilege that is able to look to you. I don't want to get caught up in circumstances. I don't want to get caught up in conditions. I don't want to do it. God, I want to wait like Habakkuk, looking to you, God, to outwork your goodwill. I'm looking for that. I'm not trying to exercise my will over your will. I'm going to do what I can to the best of my God-given common sense and my responsibility. But God, I depend on you to override and overrule and outwork anything and everything that is less than what you want. And then God, you tell us to remind us, search me, O God, and what? And know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Why? So that you don't, I don't, I'm going down the corridor. I'm going to live the next 10 days, next 10 minutes. God, you're ahead of me. God, search my heart now so I stay right with you as I go down the corridor. And bring out anything that's going to be a trouble. I don't want to stumble 3 days from now, 5 days from now. In the next bit of news, television, media, home, friend, family, good, bad. I don't want to stumble at it. I don't want to be offended. I want to wait. And look, the process needs to be outworked in order to have the product. And God, you're going to help me. So in the midst of it all, God looking to you, we need to submit to God. God, you don't need to explain. I want to understand, but I don't need to understand. I just need to understand who you are. That's what Job ended up. Job ended up saying, God, you are too wonderful for me. You're too wonderful, God. You are extraordinary, God. And I was too stupid trying to get, I was trying to fit you, as it were. I was trying to fit you into my little glass. Belie, belie. They belied. They lessened, reduced God. I'm trying to fit you, God, in my glass, and you don't fit. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He doesn't fit at all. And God, I don't want you to fit. I want to fit in the middle of you, God. That's what I want to do. Wow. So you don't need a God. I want to be, go forward. When it's clear, when it's cloudy, watch and wait. Looking to you, God. No worry, no want. Jeremiah says the people don't believe. They don't want to believe. God said, they're losers. If they just believed, they would see. And if you shed light, if I could shed light mentally on your heart and mind, everything that you question and challenge, and I could bring it all into light, and you could see it in its fullness, wouldn't you change your mind? Wouldn't you? If you could really see with bumbling in your head, and all of a sudden you could see it all, boy, you'd change your mind. God said, that's what I see in you. And you're going to have to learn to wait and let me help you see it. You're going to learn from me. Get your learning from me. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to look at anything. I want you to learn who I am and what I do. And you know the wonderful statement, just saying it, of all the things that the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted. What could we do to work the works of God? And you remember in John 6, the only thing he said that he ever said was, believe me. What did he say to Abraham? Why did Abraham ever make it? Because Abraham did what? He believed. That's what he did. And it was counted to God for righteousness. He just believed. You say that's so simple. Uh-huh, it is. That's right. And if you're too dumb and you don't do that, you don't let me be who I am, then you're trying to manage your whole life and carry the world, carry your world. And you don't have shoulders that are big enough. You don't have them. Your shoulders are too small. And the world's too heavy. And the more you carry it, I'm carrying my problems. But you know what? After a while, if you haven't done something right with them, there are going to be more problems, and you're going to have weight and get heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. Wow. And you wonder why. Why am I disappointed? Why am I discouraged? Why am I depressed? Why? Well, because you kept it all piling up, and you got no light. You just got a pile, big pile. Wow. Anyway, God help us. We'll have to stop here, but I hope you got a little bit. Habakkuk, you're looking at Judah, and you're looking at Nebuchadnezzar's coming, and it's a horrible, awesome thing. That's correct. But out of it, I am going to judge Israel, and I'm going to take the temple down, and then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to judge Babylon for doing what it did. Because you see, I sent them in if they had treated my people right. But the Assyrians didn't treat my people right. And the Babylonians didn't treat my people right. And I'm going to punish them. They went beyond what I gave them permission to do. There's a wonderful process and a wonderful product in all of history, and we're in it. Wow. Anyway, you might have a particular request, if you would, as we go to prayer. Thank you for your patience. Yep.